Welcome, folks, to KB Cabaret's St. Patrick's Day Variety Show Special. This holiday seems to resonate with most of our cast and crew. Let me name our writers and cast. Judy McMahon, Kate, Bill, and Molly Murray, John Carey, and John Montgomery. Yep, all Jewish. Even our special musical guest, Brian Hyland. Who knew? Charles Berman, Val Monfuega, and I, well, we got the Irish spirit in us. Right, guys?
Right.
Right.
Right. Hey, Charles, we never asked Dave Rice if he's Irish. Oh, well. Don't just stand there, man. Pour me some Guinness. To all the Irish and the Irish wannabes in Parlor City, sláinte. Happy St. Patrick's Day. This show's for you.
BHH Productions presents KB Cabaret, an original variety show, with your host, Bree Harvey.
Hi, folks, and welcome to KB Cabaret. My name is Bree Harvey, head writer and producer of this show. KB Cabaret is a calabaloo of original skits, songs, poetry, and short stories. What's calabaloo, you ask? Magic from a child's creative imagination. I was 5 when I coined that word, and it's been with my family ever since. The settings originate from my hometown, Parlor City. And the stories originate from people
who are a product of fiction. Names, characters, places, and incidents either are products of the author's imagination or are used fictitiously. Any resemblance to actual events, locales, or persons living or dead is entirely coincidental.
Thank you, Kate. That, folks, obviously, is my lawyer. Starring my friends, the Parlor City Players, Judy McMahon, Kate Murray, Molly Murray, Charles Berman, John Carey, John Montgomery, Bill Murray, and me. Your host, Bree Harvey. KB Cabaret would also like to introduce a new voice talent, Dawn Gould.
Welcome to our town. Welcome to Parlor City, where our friends come out to play. When neighbors don't leave, they stay and chat a while. Welcome to our town, to KB Cabaret.
This week on KB Cabaret, we present our special Irish episode with Irish-themed sketches and a selection of Irish music from our very special guest, Brian Hyland. KB Cabaret is brought to you by Slow 'Em Down Air Freshener.
Welcome to our town, to KB Cabaret.
Mornings are a special time for me. My rituals are simple. A good cup of coffee, soft classical music, and a little daily feature in our local newspaper called Advice with Granny Ada.
And now KB Cabaret presents Advice with Granny Ada, Parlor City's cherished advice columnist.
Dear Granny Ada, I've been told that exercise is necessary for any age, for the body must keep moving. So last month, at the age of 40, I joined a gym. Now I'm going 4, maybe 5 times a week. I'm actually enjoying the rush. Almost 10 minutes into exercising, I feel so much better about myself. I never thought I would actually want to go to a gym. My problem is that strange people are in these places. There are men that pose in front of the mirror, checking out how buff they are. They're posing in different twists and turns. Women, who wear less adequate covers than they would on the beach, are bending low, bending deep. Then there are the grunts. You know, it sounds as if these men were in labor. Granny Ada, I'm middle-aged and wear a jogging suit that covers everything and try to keep a low profile. But these distractions are, well, distracting. Please don't tell me to join another gym or buy my own equipment. This gym is right next door, and I don't like to exercise when I'm alone. Assigned, pumped, and Stumped.
Dear Stumped, how delightful. Sounds like you are going to a jungle gym full of orangutans. Yes, exercise is good for you, but so is gardening and dancing. You don't have to go to these islands of misfits and land of ploys to watch their mating habits. These gym-goers are obviously there to pick up more than just a muscle or two. But obviously this is not the advice you want to hear. You want to go to this particular place and not peruse the pectoral parade, then here is my other advice. Wear headphones and listen to your treasured tunes. Keep your eyes on News Network TV or read architecture magazines. Don't look, leer, or listen. Just work out and get out. That's all I can do for you, dear. Unless you avoid these gyms of gyrations, you need to find a tactful way to distract. Thanks for writing, honey, and have a nice day. Granny Ada. Anybody home?
Come on in, Beulah. I'm right here doing the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Parlor City chef extraordinaire, Beulah Deschamps.
Oh, well, dear, that's very nice of you. I just wanted to stop by and say happy St. Patrick's Day. Did you know that I am part Irish?
I had no idea.
Oh, yes, dear, from my mother's side. Her mother's last name was O'Reilly.
Was she also a chef?
Unfortunately, I don't know much about her, dear. However, we do have a family cookbook passed down from generation to generation, and she did submit a few very nice recipes.
Well, why don't you share one with us?
I knew you would ask me, dear. As I said, she only had a few, but I found this one intriguing. So I brought over some samples, and then I'll tell you how to make them.
Oh, my. These look delicious. Tell the audience what these are.
Irish cream cupcakes, which also can be made into a moist, delicious cake. Have one.
Delicious. We can definitely taste the liqueur.
Oh, yes. Well, I only serve them to my over 21 family members and friends. I find these go wonderfully with coffee. I brought you some in my thermos.
That is one of the biggest thermoses I have ever seen.
Well, dear, I use this for many things that need to be cold or warm, including soups. But this here is wonderful coffee for this time of year. I brought you a separate cup.
Nothing like delicious cupcakes and a fresh cup of coffee to start the show.
Oh,
this is whiskey.
Well, dear, this is Irish coffee, the Beulah Deschamps way. First, you fill the thermos 3/4 of the way with pure, wonderful Irish whiskey, and then you add a tablespoon of sugar and heavy cream. Just lovely. Now, let's make the cupcakes. Aside from the usual flour, sugar, eggs, and baking soda, you'll need buttermilk, cocoa, coffee, and Irish cream liqueur. That's what makes the cake moist. So, dear, let's wash our hands, put on our aprons, and let's get going. More coffee?
No thanks, Beulah.
Oh, well. Many loved your moments of glad grace and loved your beauty with love, false or true. But one man loved the pilgrim soul in you and loved the sorrows of your changing face. and bending down beside the glowing bars and murmur a little sadly how love fled and paced upon the mountains overhead and hid his face amidst a crowd of stars. Oh. Leon used to recite that to me.
Oh, Beulah, these cupcakes did turn out lovely. I mixed the whipped cream with powdered sugar and added the Irish cream. Should I frost the cakes?
Irish cream comes in at the mouth and love comes in at the eye. That's all we shall know for truth before we grow old and die. I lift the glass to my mouth and I look at you and sigh. Oh.
Okay, Beulah, all frosted. And I think you need to go home and get a little rest. Boys, could you help Beulah home?
But I, being poor, have only my dreams. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, boys, because you tread on my dreams.
Thank you, boys, and to Beulah for making this delicious Irish cream cupcake. To be fair, we shall post them on our website, kbcabaret.com. That's kbcabaret.com. And scroll down to Beulah's recipe bar. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm here with Brian Hyland in our studio here at BHH Studios, and I want to welcome you.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
The first song that we are going to be hearing is called, tell me if I'm pronouncing this right, Spancel Hill?
Spancel Hill, yes.
Now, there you are using this accordion, correct?
Yes, yes.
Tell me a little background of Spancel Hill.
It's a song that was made from a letter that an Irishman wrote in the period of the California Gold Rush. What happened was that, like so many other Irish, he had left Ireland and he'd come to America and he'd gone off to California and he did not strike it rich. And unfortunately, he got very ill and he realized he was going to die. And what he did was he had a dream about returning home to County Clare, to Spancel Hill, and being there around the 23rd of June, which is the time of summer solstice. And what happens is that he just imagines going through the village and seeing the villagers. But, of course, everybody has grown older as he has grown older in California.
Last night as I lay dreaming, unpleasant days gone by. Me mind being bent on rambling, to Ireland I did fly. Oh, I stepped on board a vision, and I followed with my will, till at length I came to anchor at the cross near Spancel Hill. It being the 23rd of June, the day before the fair, when Ireland's sons and daughters in crowds assemble there. Oh, the young, the old, the brave and the bold, they came for sport and skill. There was jovial conversation at the cross near Spancel Hill. I went to see me neighbors to hear what they might say. The old ones were all dead and gone, and the young ones turning grey. Oh, I met with Taylor Quigley, he's as bold as ever still. Sure, he used to mend me breeches long ago in Spancel Hill. I paid a flying visit to my first and only love. She's as white as any lily and as gentle as a dove. Oh, she threw her arms around me, crying, Johnny, I love you still. Sure, she's Meg, the farmer's daughter, and the pride of Spancel Hill. I dreamed I stooped to kiss her as in the days of yore. She says, Johnny, you're only joking, as many as the time before. Oh, the cock crew in the morning, it crew but loud and shrill. I awoke in California, many miles from Spancel Hill.
What's your emergency?
I wants me gold back.
Tell me what happened, sir.
Me gold was taken and I wants it back.
Did someone break into your house?
No, they just took me pot of gold.
Where was your gold when it was stolen?
From the field just yonder, the row of trees adjacent to the hillside. It was buried beneath the acorn tree.
Okay, sir. I'm going to have to get some additional information from you before we proceed.
Well, what about getting me gold back?
We'll work on that in a moment. First, I need your name, address, and a complete description of the theft.
Name's Darby McLovin. I live in the back room of the corncob pipe cobbler shop, and that's at the corner of 5th and Main. And me gold was stolen.
Darby McLovin?
Don't be going there, lassie.
Darby McLovin, Corn Cob Pipe Cobbler Shop, 125 East Main Street.
You know the address?
Of course. That's where I get my shoes repaired.
What kind of shoes, if you don't mind me asking?
A pair of 9 West slingbacks.
Black pumps with a broken heel.
But how did you...
Came in the other day. Should be ready by Thursday.
Did you notice that the...
Toe on the left shoe needs a bit of shoring? Why, yes, of course. And we'll put a nice polish on him as well, so don't you worry none. Now, about me gold?
Your gold, right. When did you last see it?
Yesterday afternoon. It was right after the rainstorm.
Uh-huh.
Everything was fine when I left, but later, before the fog rolled in, I had a bad feeling, so I came back to check, and sure enough, it was gone, pot and all.
Bad feeling, huh? Do you have any idea who might have done this?
I've got a pretty good idea who done it.
And who do you think it was?
A freaky little charms guy, that's who.
Charms guy?
Yeah, Lucky Charms, that's who done it.
What makes you so sure it was him?
I found an orange star, 2 yellow moons in his wallet nearby.
But why would he steal your gold? He's a fellow leprechaun. Doesn't he have his own gold?
He did. Lad's dead broke now. Word on the street is his drinking got the better of him and he gambled it all away. I've even heard he's been arrested several times.
Oh, that's so sad. Happens to a lot of celebrities nowadays.
Doesn't concern me, just as long as I get me gold back.
Let me check the database. Looks like our boy was picked up last night for fighting, public intoxication, and car theft.
A gold piece says he didn't have any ID on him either.
Oh, wait! Listen to this. Guess what they found in the trunk of that stolen car?
Well, I'd be going out on a limb on this one, but, by any chance, would it be me pot of gold?
Bingo.
Well, just tell me where it is and I'll be coming to take it back.
Well, sounds to me like it should be worth, oh, I don't know, 3 wishes?
Ah, it's old wives' tale. Besides, you'll never catch me.
I'll take my chances. See you at the impound lot at noon.
Oh, good Lord, I'm lost. I better ask for directions. Hey, excuse me, folks. Can you help me?
Sure we can. Are you a Yank?
Why, yeah, I'm an American.
would you take a look, Maggie? It's a Yank.
Oh, hello, lad. What can we do for you?
Well, I've been driving around for the past hour. I'm really lost, and I think I need directions to Graya.
Why would you want to go there? It's just 3 farms and a crossroad.
Oh, you know it? Well, my mother was born on one of those farms.
Was she? How grand. What was her family name?
McWiggin.
Oh, fine family name that is, right, Seamus?
Oh, sure. Sure it is.
Okay. Well, I'm lost, and I want to see where my mom was born. Please, can you help me?
Of course we can. You have much better manners than that last Yank I met. I'm walking down the road, you see, carrying my groceries back from town, and this Yank pulls over and asks if I needed a ride. A ride!
Huh.
I mean, well, the nerve of him. Now, I like a good shag, just like anybody else, but how is that going to help me get me groceries home?
Well, I don't think he quite meant that.
Rude young man he was.
Well, sure, I suppose. So, can you give me directions?
Sure, of course. I have a memory like a cow.
Don't you mean an elephant?
No, a cow. Have you ever seen a lost cow?
No, well, no, but...
Here's what you want to do, lad. You go down this road about 2 kilometers. Not those miles that you Yanks use, but kilometers. Then you'll see a brown cow standing next to a white barn. Then you'll drive down a winding road until you see a great oak tree. 100 meters past the oak tree, you'll see a white house with a brown door. If a man is out, roll down your window, shake your fist, and curse at him. That's Tim Feeney, and I can't stand the man. After that, then you'll drive on the winding road for 2 more kilometers and take a right at a white house with a green door. Are you getting all this, lad?
Well, I'm not sure if...
Good. Then you'll drive by the lake for 5 more kilometers, maybe 10, until you come to a pub. They have very good food there. Then at the pub, you turn right, go up a hill for 1 kilometer, and down the hill for 1 kilometer.
Are there any road signs?
None that I would trust. Then 5 more kilometers, you take a left at Murphy Sinkhole, straight up the hill, and your mother's place will be the 3rd white house with the red door. I hope you brought your willies, because it's all sheep dung and mud up there. Now, have you got all that, lad?
Oh, sure. I have a memory like a cow.
He's a good lad, Maggie.
Oh, for God's sake, don't listen to him. You'll end up lost forever and ever.
I think I can find my way in my own country, woman.
You can't find your way back from the water closet. Lad, you just need to go straight on 10 kilometers or so, and you'll run right into it.
You'll run right into the river if you go her way.
Don't you tell me I'm wrong, mister.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Thanks for your help. I'll just be going.
All right then, lad. Good luck.
Bye, Yank.
McWiggins. Bunch of sheep-stealing thugs, that family.
Always were. Take me for a ride.
Oh, Maggie, you wicked, wicked old woman. All right, but let's have tea first.
I'll put the kettle on.
The next song that we hear is South Wind. And in that, you are using a Irish-style wooden flute.
Yes.
Tell me a little background of that song and why would a flute be used?
Well, it's a traditional slow air, and it's played all over Ireland. I first heard it years ago on a recording by the Chieftains. And so that takes it back to when I was first starting to play back in the 1970s. And I've always loved the tune. It's a beautiful, beautiful tune. I really like it on the flute simply because the breathiness of the flute, to my mind, kind of recreates the sound of the wind as it sighs through the air.
Sweet, first trip with my new GPS app. Just a quick setup and I'm off to the beach.
Welcome to the new on-the-spot GPS phone app. Please state your name.
My name is Michael.
Now, choose the personality type for your GPS. Please choose male or female voice.
Female, please.
Now, choose language and accent.
Keep English, please, and what accent? Well, Irish women are sexy. I choose Irish.
Thank you. Setup is now complete. Enjoy your new GPS app. Good morning, Michael. Where can I take you today?
My goodness. Well, I'd like to go to the beach. Do you have a name?
Yes, it's Fiona. What beach and where is it, Michael?
Oh, it's Seaview Beach on Ocean Ave.
Wait a moment while I calculate the best route, Michael.
Sure, no problem. Anything yet?
Hold on, Michael.
Sorry, Fiona.
Apology accepted. There now, Michael. I've got the whole thing planned. Turn right out of your driveway and proceed down Beach Street for 2 miles.
Okay, Fiona. Here we go.
Michael, do you want a route that avoids the tolls?
No, I don't mind paying the tolls.
Well, you spend your money in whatever foolish way you want. I will recalculate the route.
What?
Excuse me, Michael.
Do I interrupt you when you are thinking of ways to waste money? I'm calculating here. Left turn!
Oh! That was abrupt. I'm only saying I don't mind paying the tolls if it gets me there quicker.
Oh, so now I am abrupt, and I'm not capable of finding a route that is quick and inexpensive. Is that what you're saying, Michael? Right turn!
Oh, my God!
Don't take the Lord's name in vain, Michael.
I'm sure you're very capable, Fiona. I just want to go to the beach. You tell me the way you think best.
Good. That is the only intelligent thing you've said so far. Left turn, now! No, Michael. Your other left, you great idiot.
Why are you yelling at me?
Because you're obviously stone deaf. Now, I have recalculated, and now you have to take a right, then a right, and another right to get back on the right route.
You were so nice when I picked you. Why are you so mean?
Are you calling me mean, Michael?
No, I'm not.
I think you just did.
Can we just get back to the route to the beach?
I'm not talking to you, Michael.
Fiona, please.
There, you're sorry?
All right, I'm sorry.
I don't think that was sincere.
Okay. I'm sorry, Fiona.
Very well, then. Recalculating. Why do you want to go to the beach for anyway, Michael?
Because it's my day off, and it's a great place to meet pretty women.
You can meet plenty of nice women at church, you know.
I don't want to go to church. I want to go to the beach. It's not even Sunday.
It does not have to be Sunday to go to church. Your mother must be so proud of you, Michael.
Okay, enough of this. Just take me to the beach.
Fine. Right, turn ahead. In 20 feet, you have reached your destination.
This is a church.
It certainly is, Michael. It seems to have been too long since you darkened the door.
I want to go to the ocean.
Like, I'm going to be a party to you picking up strange, half-naked women when you could be at confession.
I think I need a drink.
Oh, a drunk driver. I've alerted the police.
You know, I'll just walk home from here.
Do as you like, Michael. And thank you for using on-the-spot GPS by the makers of on-the-spot personal trainer and on-the-spot life coach. Have a nice day. And say your rosary.
Rosin the Bow has two different spellings, number one. That yes. You were telling me. One is B-O-W and the other one is B-E-A-U.
Hmm.
And it's also, you were saying that it was played during Abe Lincoln's time for his campaign song?
Yes. They used the melody for this for one of his campaign songs. And Old Rosin the Bow, it's an old song. It's been around in the British Isles for a long time. It made its way into America. And the version that I sing has been sung for many, many years. The Clancy Brothers recorded it. Lots of other groups have recorded it. It's a fun song.
Traveled all over this world and now to another I go. And I know that good quarters are waiting to welcome old Rosin the Bow. To welcome old Rosin the Bow, oh, to welcome old Rosin the Bow. And I know that good quarters are waiting to welcome old Rosin the Bow. I'm dead and laid out on the counter, a voice you shall hear from below. Singing, send down a hogshead of whiskey to drink with old Rosin the Bow. To drink with old Rosin the Bow, oh, to drink with old Rosin the Bow. Singing, send down a hogshead of whiskey to drink with old Rosin the Bow. Then get ye a dozen stout fellas and set them all up in a row. Have them drink out of half-gallon bottles to the memory of Rosin the Bow. To the memory of Rosin the Bow, oh, to the memory of Rosin the Bow. Have them drink out of half-gallon bottles to the memory of Rosin the Bow. Then get you these dozen stout fellas and let them all stagger and go.
and dig a great hole in the meadow, and in it put Roz in the bowl, and in it put Roz in the bowl, oh, and in it put Roz in the bowl. Have them dig a great hole in the meadow, and in it put Roz in the bowl. Then get ye a couple of bottles, put one at me head and me toe, with a diamond ring scratch upon em, the name of old Roz in the bow. The name of old Roz in the bow, oh, the name of old Roz in the bow. With a diamond ring scratch upon em, the name of old Roz in the bow. I fear the old tyrant approaching, that cruel, remorseless old foe. And I lift up me glass in his honor, take a drink with old Roz in the bowl. Take a drink with old Roz in the bowl, oh, take a drink with old Roz in the bowl. And I lift up me glass in his honor, take a drink with old Roz in the bowl. Take a drink with old Roz in the bowl, oh, take a drink with old Roz in the bowl. And I lift up me glass in his honor, take a drink with old Roz in the bowl.
Hey, Doris, do you have a minute?
Sure, what's up?
It's that new man Mr. Feldman just hired.
The one with the glasses and the overbite?
Yeah, that's the one. He's driving me bonkers.
Bonkers? Why?
He's an overachiever.
So?
Well, he's making me look bad.
I don't understand.
You know how Mr. Feldman wanted the Cheever's report last month?
Yeah.
Well, the new hire gave it to him yesterday.
The report?
I know. I was going to give Mr. Feldman the Cheever's report next Thursday.
Wow.
And the coffee's always fresh.
Seriously?
Seriously. The new intern makes fresh coffee every hour.
No.
Yeah. What am I gonna do?
Does this happen to you? Have an ambitious coworker in your office? Always manages to come up with the work and show you up? Can't come in late, call in sick, or leave early? Well, we have a solution for you. Slow Me Down Pump Spray Camouflages an Air Freshener. Simply spray around the ambitious hire, then sit back and watch.
New hire, do you have that report I asked for?
Yes, sir, it'll be on your desk shortly.
Translation, your report will be on your desk in a month. Maybe.
New hire, did you just walk in? The shift started 25 minutes ago.
No, sir. I was just making copies of the report in the copy room.
Translation? Yep, you caught me, but nah.
Ugh, this coffee is awful.
Funny, I just made it fresh for you. This must just be a new brand.
Translation? Suck it up, boss. Yes, slow 'em down with faux air freshener slow 'em down spray. Then sit back, be yourself, and keep your job intact.
Please begin.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 1 year since my last confession, and these are my sins. Well, Father, I don't know how to say this.
Don't worry. God understands and forgives us all. There's nothing you could say that would shock me.
Well, Father, that puts me at ease.
Now go ahead, my son.
Well, Father, I've had sex outside of marriage.
How many times have you done this, my son?
347 times in the past year.
My goodness, 347 times with one woman in 1 year?
Oh, no, Father. Many different women. A few times with each.
Well, you must travel far and wide to find that many sinful women. Does your job take you all over the country?
Oh, no, Father. I work and live in the village. I've never left the village.
When I see you're pulling my leg, there are no more than 100 women in this entire village. So there's no way your story could have happened. But you have added being a sinful liar to your sins.
I swear it's all true.
Of course it is not true. I was saying to my housekeeper just the other day how the people today have no regard for the truth.
Oh, Mrs. O'Reilly. Lovely woman. Large breast. Likes a good pat on the bottom.
Are you saying that my housekeeper has been up to no good with the likes of you?
Well, just three times at the most.
Good Lord, man, she's a member of the church choir.
Ah, the choir. Mrs. Shields, choir director, and then Maggie, Angela, Colleen, Rose, Sheila, Peg, oh, and so many more. All spectacular women in their own unique ways.
The whole choir, my choir.
Afraid so, Father.
No, I refuse to believe any of this. Besides, it is mathematically impossible for you to have done this. As I said, there cannot be more than 100 women in this village.
I see your point, Father, but apparently I'm very good at this particular sin, and I can only assume it was word of mouth.
Word of mouth? I still refuse to believe it because it physically is impossible for you to have done this. It would require you to have done the act more than 3 times a day over the course of a year. So there.
Not trying to be snotty here, Father, but you stick to your area of expertise and I'll stick to mine. As I said, I'm very good at this particular sin, so it's not more than 3 times a day every day, just some days. And, I mean, just do the math, 100 into 365.
Well, all I can say is I'm glad the doors of the convent are locked.
Yes, except Tuesday and Thursday afternoons between 3 and 6.
My God, man, I am gobsmacked. It means I am the shepherd of the village of Loose Women. If what you say is true, then you have not only committed the grave sin of sex outside of marriage. Many of the women you speak of are married. That means you and they are nothing but dirty adulterers.
Let's not pile on here, Father.
Pile on? All right, that's quite enough. 1,000 Hail Marys and 1,000 Our Fathers. Now get out of here before you implicate my dear mother.
Well, that's another reason I came here today, my son.
Hello, dear.
Hi, dear.
What's wrong?
It's Aunt Henrietta.
Aunt Henrietta?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Aunt Henrietta?
She was in the hospital.
Hospital?
Hospital.
Well, what happened?
Her leg turned black.
Her leg turned black?
Yeah, her leg turned black.
I have to admit it's strange, but then again, it's your Aunt Henrietta.
Yeah.
So that's why she was in the hospital?
Yeah, she thought she was dying.
She thought she was dying?
Yeah, are you listening? Her leg was black.
But she's out now.
Yeah.
Well, obviously she wasn't dying.
Yeah, the surgeons thought they had to amputate.
Oh, how awful.
Yeah, but luckily her doctor came in.
Yeah?
Well, he asked her if she ever wore black stockings.
Yeah.
So she took off the stocking from her leg, and now she's fine.
Nice touch, Alice. That leprechaun's fantastic. He makes a great addition to our St. Patrick's Day party at the bank.
I know, right? He was in front of McCory's fabric shop flagging down customers for their store. So I told him when he has a break, stop in and join our party.
Look at him go. He's on fire. The bank employees love him.
So tell us the time you caught a young boy trying to steal your pot of gold.
I let him have it. Took out my golden hammer and I clubbed him on the head. Say, you got any more of that wonderful wine? It quenches my thirst under my emerald ware.
Would you like a nice Irish brew?
Nah, I prefer a nice Bordeaux.
Well then, by all means.
You ladies are a lovely crew. Tell me your wishes and I'll make them all come true.
You're so sweet. Isn't he sweet?
Oh, he is sweet.
Hey, Mr. Leprechaun, tell the children about the rainbow.
Well, children, there's always a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Awesome!
Yeah. Here you are, you old rascal. The ruby and the wine makes the heart divine. Here's to me.
Would you like something to eat, Mr. Leprechaun?
A kind thank you, but no. I'm warming my innards with this fine red brew. Do you have any more?
Oh, you have an empty bottle. I'm sorry. How did you end up with an empty bottle? Here, let me get you a fresh one.
Thank you, my dear man. Now tell me, sir, how could you tell if a leprechaun is having a good time?
I don't know. How?
He's doubling over with laughter.
Here you are, a fresh new bottle. These are my children, Mr. Leprechaun. They so want to talk to you. I hope you don't mind.
Not at all, not at all.
Mr. Leprechaun, give us a riddle.
What type of bow cannot be tied?
I don't know.
A rainbow. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Your mother's. Now get out of here. Hey, everybody, how about a sing-along?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
I love songs. Oh, look, he's getting up on the buffet table.
Don't fall, Mr. Leprechaun.
As I was sitting by the fire, talking to old Riley's daughter, suddenly a thought came into my head. I'd like to marry old Riley's daughter. Giddy-i-ya, 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 for the one-eyed Riley, giddy-i-ya.
Hey, who's the guy the police are taking out of the bank?
Gee, I don't know. Was there a robbery?
What did he say?
I must have heard wrong.
What? Don't treat me like a leprechaun.
Do you know why I called you in here?
Yeah.
You need to stop
using my psychic powers while working the drive-thru. I know.
Wait, how do you... Oh!
It doesn't make sense not to. I mean, it saves time, and nobody can hear each other through that crappo speaker.
Well, bad speaker or not, I've been getting...
I know. Complaints about me all week. They're all dumb. Everyone's dumb.
Dumb? The guy said he asked for the big beef bueno, and you refused to give him anything but the chicken boat ultimate.
He's a liar. That's not what he wanted.
No, it's what he ordered. It's not what he wanted.
Don't we want to give people what they want?
If we did, would we really be a fast food joint?
That would probably be up to corporate.
Al, have you ever heard that the customer is always right?
You don't believe that.
Yes, I... Okay, it doesn't matter if I believe it.
That's the biggest crock I've ever heard. Always right. The last person who came through thought you were attractive.
Seriously? Who?
Oh, come on. Even you've got to admit that can't be right.
I'm asking you who?
The 83-year-old woman in the wheelchair whose husband just died of carbon monoxide poisoning while he was trying to fix her car. I mean, you saw her.
Ick.
Oh, my God. You're thinking about her right now.
No, I'm not.
You are! You're thinking about her naked 83-year-old body. Oh, God, that's revolting.
This is why people are complaining, Al.
Listen, I rarely talk about naked 83-year-old bodies with the customers.
Just because you can tell what people are thinking does not mean you should be talking about what people are thinking. This one guy who was taking out his kid's whole Little League team after the game, did you have to tell him you knew he was wearing ladies' underwear?
I was recommending deals. Clothing Beetle was having a 20% off sale.
I don't even want to know how you knew that.
Hello, I'm psychic.
Look, I walked up behind you today and I heard you giving a couple directions to another restaurant. Do you realize how bad for business that is? People will think we don't even believe in our own product. How could you use your psychic whatever for finding ways to lose us business like that?
They asked me. They were lost. And not everything is psychic. Jeez.
Oh, that's all right. No, it isn't. You don't give people directions to the competition. You don't embarrass customers. And you don't give them things other than they ask for. You just give them the food and that's it. You got it?
I tried that already.
Al, you have to wait for them to order.
This is so inefficient.
And so creepy.
What? What's creepy? They're here for food.
There are a few possible reactions when you just tell them the price before they order, Al. There's scared, confused, angry, and possibly hungry.
Well, they'd have to be to eat here.
What did you say?
I said I wish that they would be of good cheer.
No, you didn't. I know what you said.
I know. Stop asking me to say it again.
Al!
No, she isn't, Bill, and I'm insulted that you would even suggest that.
Wait for me to say things before you answer!
Jeez, what a waste of time.
No, it's basic politeness.
Are you finished?
Do you really have to ask?
Nope.
All right, Al. You have got a hell of a lot to live down here. Hey. Hey, wait, come back here. Where are you going?
I know you're going to fire me.
Well, that was easier than I thought it would be.
And by the way, even the non-psychic people all know it's a toupee. Crap.
This song, Wild Colonial Boy, deals with the Irish transportation to Australia. Often they had very petty crimes. Instead of getting a life sentence, they would get something like 7 years. The conditions on the prison ships were dismal, and living condition in Australia was bad. Convicts occasionally rebelled or escaped to become bushrangers and outlaws in Australian outback. The Wild Colonial Boy is a fictionalized account of one of the careers of these outlaws, and it is one of the best-known songs about Australian outlaws due to the popularity in Ireland and America. It was sung in the movie Quiet Man. Let's take a listen, shall we?
There was a wild colonial boy, Jack Duggan was his name. He was born and raised in Ireland in a place called Castlemaine. Oh, he was his father's only son, his mother's pride and joy. And dearly did his parents love that wild colonial boy. At the early age of 16 years, he left his native home. And to Australia's sunny shores he was inclined to roam. He robbed the rich and he helped the poor, and he shot James McAvoy. And a terror to Australia was that wild colonial boy. One morning on the prairie, as Jack he rode along, listening to the mockingbirds singing a sweet sad song, out stepped a band of troopers, Kelly, Davis, and Fitzroy. Well, they'd all set out to capture him, that wild colonial boy. Surrender now, Jack Duggan, for you see we're 3-1. Surrender in the Queen's own name, you are a plundering son. Jack drew 2 pistols from his belt, and he proudly raised them high. I'll fight, but not surrender, said the wild colonial boy. He fired a shot at Kelly that brought him to the ground. And turning round to Davis, he received a fatal wound. A bullet pierced his fierce young heart from the pistol of Fitzroy. And that was how they captured him, that wild colonial boy. And so they never captured him, that wild colonial boy.
Brian, I would like to thank you for being on our show today. This was such a treat for me, really, more than you know. Many know that you'll be moving far from Parlor City to become a curator of medieval manuscripts. Let me just say you will be greatly missed by the people here whose lives you have touched over the years. You're a great friend and mentor to me personally as well, Brian. I'd like to thank you for being on our show again.
Well, folks, that's all for today's show of KB Cabaret.
I want to thank you, our wonderful audience, for tuning in. KB Cabaret could not exist without you. I would also like to thank our hardworking actors and writers, Kate Murray, Judy McMahon, Molly Murray, Charles Berman, John Carey, John Montgomery, and Bill Murray. And I'd like to thank our hardworking sound engineer, Charles Berman, and his assistant, Valentine Monfuega, my musical engineer, Dave Rice, and a special shout-out to Christina Danella, my former music engineer, who is now working on Broadway. KB Cabaret is always looking for original musicians and writers. Inquire at kbcabaret.com. And sponsors, we have a special page just for you at kbcabaret.com. Just go on to the sponsors link and hook up with our climbing number of over 14,000 listeners that we are generating live on this show, our podcast, and on iTunes. In Parlor City, there are no goodbyes, only farewells. Until next time, this is Bree Harvey. Have a Calabaloo type of day.
Coming to stay a while. Thank you for coming to spend some time. We love to have you and share our Parlor City. Come back again now to KB Cabaret.